Say you hate me and I hate you. You never understand nothing, I say I do. So what's new? You never like me, so I say fuck you. You know that you don't like me and I don't like you. You never listen to my point of view. I'm telling you, why don't you all drop dead, you fucking fool? It's you who lose. You never wanted me, so I say fuck you. You know that you don't like me, so I say fuck you. Godless puppets, who needs you? You know that you don't like me, and I don't like you. You know that you don't like me, and I don't like you. You know that you don't like me, and I don't like you. You know that you don't like me, so I say fuck you.
Maybe 2 years later, but now it's like, yeah.
David, do you have anything to ask me?
Such a beautiful song.
Oh, wait. No, you don't.
Wait. I think I got it. Hold on. Line. Oh, yeah. How's your day, Cash?
I'll tell you how my day was, man. We just listened to Gigi fucking Allen together. And what a piece of shit he was!
I mean, if this guy...
Oh, my God.
We could have done a Gross Bodily Podcast little fucking side story on this guy. This is the Gross Bodily Pub House mashup. We'll see more of these as more musicians come to our minds that were fucking sick in the head.
Oh, my God, dude. No. Let me do the introductions. So, next to me, I have Abraham Mario Razzo.
Unfortunately, we are not as talented as other people that you might hear on.
Yes, you all suck compared to Chloe, I tell you that.
Me too.
And we got David. Triple Dick, Triple D.
Hi.
And I am... the robust Cash Money.
DJ Cash Money.
No. I kid, you guys. I love you guys.
Oh, no.
Wow, okay. What the fuck?
Wait.
That was what it sounds like to have a microphone in your mouth while it's on.
Wow, that was terrible. No. So yes, this is a mashup episode, and fortunately, it's fun because we have another podcast about murder and rape and all those fucking terrible things. But
just a regular podcast, and just coincidentally, regular life wound up speaking about murder and all these weird, crazy things.
Yes, but, you know, because we have the Gross Bodily Penises, then we have the Gross Bodily Podcast.
All three of them on my waist.
Wait, are we all supposed to have penises? Oh, my gosh.
No, not necessarily. You could have cut yours off.
Wait a minute. I thought you already had a penis. So what happened to that shit?
A unique life is a unique life for me.
I'm also a pirate.
But pirates, there's a lot of you.
Welcome to the Pop House Stray Cast. I need you both to shut the fuck up.
And we all have different philosophies.
This is fun. This is fun because this is Raza's second time. He was also the first episode, but he's also our my best friend, and also David Wood is my best friend, and it's just really cool to do podcasts with our best friend. What are we talking about today, Raza?
I don't know. Those are some wide allegations already. Like, I feel like first and foremost, we need to speak about boundaries.
Okay, what do you want to talk about?
Well, like, when you say best, like, do you mean people as in whom you know most about or people whom you currently are speaking most to? Because
did it feel good to break my heart? Because you just did.
I just believe they are very different topics.
Rosso is a callous bitch, and he can fuck off. Anyway, Rosso, what are we talking about? Tell me, what are we talking about?
We're speaking about Gigi Allen, a punk rock legend, a magnificent beacon of decadence, a hater of peace, and a lover of fucking
chaos
in general. Like, this was a malignant motherfucker.
No, he has a good
lives and who created some pretty cool music that
that is what we're gonna focus on today. We're gonna focus on the music. That man was a total piece of shit. And in a genital sense, I hope everyone heard that.
I meant genital.
I said it because he was terrible. Oh, D.
What?
Bring up that fucking, that Jerry Springer thing, too.
All right, Jerry it is.
Jerry. No, but I am so happy, so blessed by Lucifer to have my two closest friends here with me in order to talk about Gigi Allen.
Gigi Allen. The man, the myth, the legend.
Here's a little bit of his interview with
No, don't bring it up yet. Don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm gonna do it.
No, don't do it.
There you go. I only played the first 2 seconds. What's up?
Do it, D. You're in.
At that point, that actually sounds good.
Do it.
Called the most violent man in rock and roll. Some of what you're about to hear may not be suitable for children. Also, 4 nights after Gigi Allen taped this broadcast, he gave his last concert here in New York. As usual, his performance was fraught with the onstage violence that had become his trademark. The next day, Gigi Allen was found dead. A police investigation is underway into the cause of his death, but a drug overdose is suspected. What follows is Gigi Allen's last interview. Parental discretion is strongly advised. This rock musician says he has more power over your children than you do.
That's such a fierce, intense fire burning inside of me. It was so much that just wants to explode.
Gigi Allen brags he's on his way to becoming the leader, the messiah for America's youth. He already claims to have 1 million followers. Wherever he goes, he plays to sell out crowds. And this is what they see. Concerts filled with violence, bloodshed, and sexual assault. Gigi Allen wants to lead America's young people in a bloody revolution to take over the country. And he says nothing can be done to stop him. Why is that, Gigi?
Nobody will stop you because I am the true underground messiah. You come to my show, you're going to a war. And I'm out for violence, chaos, lawlessness all the way. I don't care about anybody or anything except for myself and my mission. And your kids out there, if you got kids out there, they're going to be my kids. I'm going to own those kids. They're going to do anything that I say.
And why is that? Why do they do anything you say?
Because I'm the king, and they can identify with me because the real, true, nonconformist children in this country are sick and tired of their parents, their schools, their people force-feeding them what to do. I am the answer. When they listen to my lyrics and they listen to my songs, they're listening to the way that it really should be, and you know that, and I know that, so don't brain, because your kids are my kids.
All right, look.
Your kids are my kids.
Elvis was the king. Let's just say it.
I don't think Gigi Allen had much potential.
Yeah, good shit, man.
That was very powerful.
was very powerful. He was, you know, he's a man of his word. I'll say that.
Well, oh, I mean, man. We're here, aren't we?
I mean, you're over there, and they're over there. I'm over here. I don't know if you're. I don't think either of you guys are over here, to be honest.
Yeah, we're all a lot more emotional than he probably thought we were going to be. But like, we paid attention to his words.
Oh yeah,
absolutely.
I'm the next G.G. Allin. I think I'm going to become the king of rock and roll.
Well, learn how to sing like he did in the Jabbers.
You don't like me, I don't like you.
Actually, that's pretty good.
And that's how you get your part. Just be charismatic, fool.
You just call him a fool? Listen to this, fool.
I know.
Kevin Michael.
Charisma, like it's
Kevin, I am speaking, Russell. Kevin Michael.
Kevin Bacon.
Stop it. Born. Let's think of his life, guys. Born Jesus Christ Allen. Kevin Michael G.G. Allin, born 1956, died 1993, was an American rock and roll singer, songwriter, who performed and recorded with many groups during his career. Allin was best known for his controversial live performances, which often features transgressive acts, including self-mutilation and assaulting audience members, for which he was arrested and imprisoned on multiple occasions. All Music and G4 TV's That's Tough have called him the most spectacular degenerate in rock and roll history and the toughest rock star in the world. Now, stop. Everyone stop. I disagree with that. He's not the toughest, but he was a total piece of shit and he was the ballsiest. But Razo, I think with the self-mutilation, I think that you as a front man, you might be able to understand a little bit. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, personally, as a musician, it almost becomes kind of like a sense of performance art.
It is theater, isn't it?
It is theater in its own way, especially when within the art itself, you describe these emotions, these scenes, these scenarios that are very emotionally charged.
Hot! Gay!
That is part of the difficulty in itself. It's that
that should be part of the achievement, getting someone to say shit like that. That's how I think, though.
Like, you don't, like, most people don't know how to relate what it is that they go through beyond their own personal experience, and it's just, again, relating back to mental health. So there are people who feel these certain ways, and when you express it physically, it enhances it. And I was that kind of musician where I would personally enhance the songs that I would play, the theater that I would portray on stage, despite being just a random poor punk, Latino punk kid. It was, in a sense, it was still theater. You know, like I was portraying a certain emotion, and I wanted to hopefully feel the way that I did, or latch on, or feel as chaotic or crazy as I did, because that's what I went through. So I would, you know, or not everybody out in the world, so everybody endures different things, but I personally would use self-harm as a means to further expand my art, because
it has been described on this podcast as theatrics and also emotional
turmoil.
Yes, turmoil. That's a good word for it. Thank you, D. Thank you so much. And one of the things that we want to talk about with G.G. Allin is that, like, I mean, this man was born, I mean, his parents gave him the name Jesus Christ. Yeah. And they tied him to a tree and beat the fuck out of him. Now, Razzo, I think you've also met Merle Allen, his brother. Have you not?
I don't believe I had as good of a connection as you did. Like, I remember you actually told about him. Like, he was someone that I might have met, like, in a passing moment. But, like, you were very...
I was pretty cool with the dude. He is like the sweetest man. He doesn't like it's very strange. He loves his brother like with all of his fucking heart and like stands up for him at every moment and things like that. And like just getting that kind of insight to the guy, like to me, like. I understand. I'm like, oh, they grew up in fucked up situations, and maybe Gigi Allen was a sensitive kid, you know, yeah. And maybe was – I'm not making excuses for this guy. Remember this. Mental health is your responsibility, not your fault.
Yeah, no, definitely. You know,
and
– I'm going to defend Gigi Allen's piece of shitness because, honestly – it seems like the way he lived, he sacrificed anything good that could have came of his life and just dedicated himself towards this, all this violence. And I kind of got to give him credit for that.
Yeah, that's absolutely. Beautiful. That's a really beautiful thing. And I agree with that in that, like, to some of Gigi Allen's earliest experiences, I could definitely relate to. Where I recall there are some songs from other bands, and you know, we'll speak about them later on in this show. But their episodes, there are different experiences that Gigi Allen had through these different bands that he experienced. And very early on, he was kind of a nerd, you know, like the earliest conversations that I believe it was from like a band called the Dwarves.
Or the Dwarves. I played with the Dwarves. With the Dwarves.
Yeah, they mentioned Gigi Allen when he was very young. And they mentioned when he was young, he was kind of a nerd. He used to go to punk shows wearing a dress shirt and a tie, and he did so for like the early bits of his career. So you could and he was a drummer.
No, absolutely. And Raza, let's just name some of his influences because you mentioned that. I mean, one of his influences very early on was the Dave Clark Five. The Beatles, the Rolling Stones, Alice Cooper. Was you know that he was going for something that was he was a showman. He was a showman at heart. And sometimes be careful who you pretend that you are, because sometimes it gets a little out of control.
Exactly, and that's how I felt about like Gigi Allen. Was more so that I felt like that he was, you know, and I could relate honestly, like personally, because I was quite the nerd too when I began my punk rock career. Like,
fucking nerd, yeah, I know you were.
I used to wear ties and dress shirts. Like, oh, yeah, I'm gonna play a show. I'm gonna
you
wear
basically no, like no, a young no, Republican.
No, Razzo. Let me expand on this. Before it was cool. That was before it was cool. And this is, we talked about this on the first episode of this podcast. You were our first interview, and we did interview me, and we talked about it.
Yeah.
You were absolutely like a nerd. You guys learned your music from
like Guitar Hero,
yes.
Forms of music, like we're just complete nerds, and not to mention, well, I mean, like, you know, some of my band members were actually serious musicians, you know. know, like.
Well, Hogo, who is the last episode? Hogo was.
Yeah,
was
but the beyond last that, so he was the only serious musician, and you know, also the drummer.
No, Jesus, had. Jesus was like on another level.
So the drummer, Jesus Chavez, and the guitarist, Hogo fucking Gomez, like, these people were very serious, but they were really kind in regards to, like, working with, like, loser nerds who had no previous experiences.
You and Brian.
And we carried that on and, like, made it work somehow. Like, we made little random fucking temporary local careers out of it, but like it entirely came out of us just having pure like Guitar Hero experience.
Well, let's think about this also. Like Hogo worked with me on some hardcore punk projects and things like that. He was always open. He's always like been an open guy. And like shout out to Horacio Gomez, man. That guy has like built a, like his music career, and is like so humble. He doesn't even give a fuck.
Works so hard. Nothing. He works so hard and with many other musicians too, also. Like he is a wonderful musician.
So let's do this. Gigi Allen graduated from Concord High School in Concord, Vermont in 1975. And shortly after formed a band called Malpractice with his older brother, local musician Jeff Penny, and Brian Doomers as a high school friend. Allen played the drums for Malpractice until the band separated in 1977. He then became the drummer for a band called Strip Search. Which released one 7-inch single containing the songs Galileo and Jesus Over New York. So you can see, you can see.
Questionable and already like dangerous in regards to the type of lyrical content that his music had.
Yes, absolutely. He was naming things in the wrong way. You know, he didn't care about branding. He did not care about it. And
or musical content. Because, I mean, like, he bounced from being a drummer to a drummer to a singer. So he was basically, like, he was just making music.
Razo, I think you're going to be surprised about this.
Oh?
Yeah. So September 77 to April 84, Allen performed as a frontman for the Jabbers, in which he also played drums. He was a very good drummer.
I believe that, like, with that amount of experience, and, well, I guess I would say the timing that he has in his songs, that lends itself very well towards being a drummer, where he's very ready to just set up, like...
No, you're absolutely right, but why don't we play a song? Why don't we play Don't Talk to Me? By Gigi and the Jabbers.
Don't talk to me, don't talk.
that a song? Was that a thing?
Was that? That was a thing. That was a thing. David, what do you think about that, man? I mean, this dude could sing, huh?
This dude had pipes. I remember that there was one part of this. Don't talk to me. He had that vibrato, dude, and I can't quite do that.
Don't talk to me.
No, you know, he was, you know what? We're going to get into this more, you know, like, I think that G.G. Allin was a talented musician. I think Rosso agrees with me, and I think you agree with me as well.
Oh, yeah.
And I think like, the whole thing is like, it's more so his lore that really got him. I mean, to be fair, he got his own room in the Museum of Death in Hollywood. He did get that.
Oh. Which happened after his death, of course.
Well, of course. Of course it did.
So, he was turned into that pop culture death increment kind of individual afterwards. So, he is a beautiful musician and an interesting musician to look into, but it's like
very interesting. Interesting.
I gotta say this: his whole stage presence seems like a front for his sensitivity. And me and Rosso, I think Rosso would agree with me saying that in our younger years, and perhaps even now when we're talking, when I'm talking about my shit, we kind of want to do something as shocking as G.G. Allin and see what happens, you know.
Shit, so do I, man. Don't leave me out of this. I actually would like to do it as well, but you know what, man? I also have a life.
Me?
I agree with D, but it, like, at parts, also almost feels like a front, you know? Like, the way that G.G. Allin is.
I want a front, dude. You want to know what my front's going to be?
You're a terrorist.
No, that one's overplayed. Me, I'm going to have a drag persona named Menstrual Mandy, or I'm going to pay women for their menstrual matter and shove it down my fucking panties while I'm wearing white panty breeze.
That is very Aleister Crowley. That is very Aleister Crowley. I love it. Right. I love it. Why haven't you done it already?
Because I'm looking for a thrift store dress Now, Rosso, you know this. You've been there. Out of the closet have, like, really corny-ass dresses.
I love it. No, but again, since we're here, what is her stripper name? I'll name mine right next. So David just gave his.
If you say Ivan Ooze, I'll fucking kill you.
You're going to say that?
I wish I was a fucking, like, Power Ranger nerd like that.
But, you are. You've done it.
My actual
No. Wait. Stop. I love what you're doing, Rosso, but instead of naming ourselves, we're gonna name each other.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, right. So D, you have to name Rosso. Rosso has to name me and I'm gonna name
but
D.
But also you. So D has to name both of us.
Okay. I'm in.
Yeah, he has to name both of us.
I don't just have a name. I have a persona for you, and you are not gonna like this, Rosso. And I'm gonna make sure you do it. You're gonna dress up as a Power Ranger, dye all of those clothes white, and then call yourself the White Power Ranger.
You should call him the White Knight.
Why is that bad? Why is that?
It's a code. It's the white supremacist code. White Power Ranger.
I know. Like, you're making me like a weird, like, white supremacist.
And then they take off your helmet and they realize you're brown.
Yeah, I get it. Because he's Hispanic.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's fun. I get it. What about me, D?
Confused.
You're going to be Feral Freddy who will spend most of the onstage time naked and pissing in people's beers.
That's what I'm doing right now. All right, Rosso, what's the name for D?
Oh, gosh. I know. This is tough. D, you're the Dickler Dozen, where you're just like,
no, the Dickler Bigger's Dozen.
Your abilities are expanded beyond what you have as a three dick person. You're just, ooh. You're the Dickler Dozen.
I am the Nine Tails.
To affect these multiple different
I'm the 12 tails monster then.
All at the same time, and by being kind of like an asshole, because you're still a mofo, so you're gonna get in trouble, D. So it's not like you're like escaping.
I love you, Razzle.
You're just the Dickler dozen now.
Okay, what's Cass gonna be? What's Cass?
Yeah, what am I? What am I, Razzle?
Other than Cash, DJ Cash
you'll,
Money,
you'll be the. Let me see, and I'm coming up with it on the spot. You'll be the fucking
ex-cop.
No. It has to be something with a C because that's the way that.
Why am I an ex-cop? I just had deja vu.
You'll just be Cabbage Cash. You're just in charge of fucking like cabbage and like.
Because my dick smells like cabbage.
Everything about you smells like cabbage because you're Cabbage Cash.
That's racist, man. I'm Irish.
You're trying to compare everything around you based off of these particular, like, technic. I don't even know how to say that word.
Technicalities.
Like, you're just missaying. You yourself missay everything also. So you're just like, I'm just Cabbage Cash, and I'm just fucking up on every word that is fucking whatever presented to me because I'm Cabbage Cash. Yeah, cool. And that's you.
Is it my turn?
Yes.
Yeah, it's your turn.
All right, D is called the Rapist.
Creative.
I want to cancel this now.
No. This is why. Stop. It's my turn. My turn to speak.
It's his turn to speak, Razzle. I kind of want to hear this anyway. What do you mean, Cash?
Yeah, you're the rapist because you have three dicks. You could rape three women at one time. So
damn, stupid.
Like
no. I'm not done. I am not done with your No, you are the rapist. You rape three women at a time. But the thing is all three women want you at the same time. So, therefore, it isn't rape. It is consensual.
You're fucking slapping me on the wrist. Come on, you got something better than that.
They're all fat.
You know my taste of women. I like a little
bit. And they're also men.
We know men or male women or
female you can't men. Tell you can't tell you don't know it's no, just me dude, I only know because dude. I picked them out no Razzle, get out of here.
They're tasting men with hats. That's
no this is a fun one Razzle, you I'm calling you the ghetto bird.
Okay,
I gotta need some explanation.
All right, here's what it is. You fucking come in off of ceilings, right? You strap yourself to the ceiling with Velcro, right? Because you're into bondage. And then you fucking unstrap yourself and you fall on women. And you penetrate immediately.
I'm scared.
No, too bad. This is what you are.
Getting raped by it seems like both parties are getting raped by gravity.
I know.
Yes. Newton
would hate. Newton would hate to see this.
Like a VP or something, somebody who is like very personal about this, and that could just de-escalate the situation about like rape and such.
No,
I forgot to add this about Cash's persona. He can knock down Biramiz with the sheer getting up from his bed.
It already happened. Yes. Where were we? Come on, guys. Let's get back on track.
Gigi Allen and his nerdiness. We should
already been done.
Play a song. Play Carmelita. Carmelita. Get me back on this shit. Carmelita.
I'm not gonna play Carmelita. I'm gonna go into his middle career.
Yes, go into it. Do it, D. Your dry ass shit. your cum. Fight it. Use
cum. Is that part of the lyrics? He wants your cum?
Yeah, absolutely.
He really just, he's a, Gigi Allen is such a slutty bitch.
He is such a slutty bitch. Oh my God, he is. No, he's a fucking piece of shit. We said this, I don't know how many times. If I had a nickel for every time I called Gigi Allen a piece of shit today, it would be like 20 cents. But anyway, we are back. We lost Razo a little bit here, which is fine. And so me and D, we're going to carry on because the show must go on. Yeah, buddy. Anyway, so technically, I'm going to let the audience in on this. We recorded this late last night, and now it is 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and I'm already drunk. Woo! Some could say I never wasn't drunk.
Yeah, he's continuing his drunken banter.
Well, I had the day off, so there we go.
There we go.
That explains it. But what we're going to
do is... Did you have with mimosas?
Oh, dude, I did buy mimosa shit, and I'm about to crack it open pretty soon. You'll see. I am...
Bougie.
Oh, man, fuck you. How about that? No, and while listening to this episode, I started realizing, I was like, we didn't talk that much about Gigi Allen. So we're going to get into his career a little bit. Gigi Allen was like super versatile, man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, wouldn't you agree?
I've been listening to his first album, and it just sounds like some sort of – it kind of has that pop rock edge that punk back then had, you know? It wasn't exactly hardcore. These guys – Gigi Allen, when he was starting out, was kind of – we said it before in the last podcast. He was a fucking nerd, you know?
Yeah.
When he got into punk rock, he didn't exactly just dive into being shocking or confrontational. He just liked the music, as far as I know.
Yeah, no, it's almost like the drugs kind of played a large hand in that.
Oh, yeah, and his mental health wasn't that great either. So
That's right. Just a review. And, you know, but, like, he was very versatile. Like, Gigi Allen, all right, he had a ton of spoken word albums. I mean... I'm not going to sit here and speak to, like, how great they are because they're not. I mean, anyone who wants to listen to Gigi Allen just rant for 45 minutes straight, I mean, more power to you, I guess. But he also had, like, other sides to him. He had, like, he was a huge Hank Williams fan. He was a huge David Allan Coe fan. And, you know, both kind of racist piece of shits as well. But... he started like a folk kind. He had a folk album in there. He was a decent musician. He was good at what he did. And as much as his lore kind of carried him, it wasn't without talent, we'll say. Why don't we play some of his folk stuff? Let's play Carmelita.
Ooh, Carmelita, that one's nice. Let's do that right now.
I hear Mariachi static on my radio, and the tubes are glowing the dark. And I'm there with you, and it's sonata, and I'm hearing Echo Park. Of town.
sitting here playing Russian roulette with my pearl-handled gun. The county won't get me anymore, methadone, and they cut off.
So that was his folk days.
This is folk days. This is one of his better known folk songs. It's a great song. It's a great song.
It's not bad at all. I wouldn't say it's great, but
I love it. I fucking love it.
This really showcased how Gigi Allen was really good at writing vocals. He could write vocals over anything. The instrumentals in this aren't the focus, obviously, but like he can just sing over whatever he wanted and make a damn good fucking melody with good lyrics, you know?
No, it was like, dude, check this out. Gigi Allen, right? Uh-huh. He played with a lot of like really well-known bands like Anti-Scene, I think the Dwarves. He had a lot of really good backing bands of like people who wanted to work with him despite his fuckery. And like, you know, it shows, you know, he really got a big boost from a lot of like good punk bands and things like that who just like wanted the notoriety of working with Gigi Allen.
Oh yeah, it was a win-win situation.
No, absolutely. For well, you know, and I don't know how
despite
well.
Despite having to deal with Gigi Allen as a person, you know, that's something they're gonna have to. That's something they're gonna have to come to terms with if they want to get more clout because of Gigi Allen, you know.
Well, yeah, and especially in like today's age, like with like how basically the punk movement has evolved into more of a like a. Leftist, like very like it was always very leftist, but like leftist insensitive, you know, like back then it was more like just fucking scorched earth on all of society, and nowadays the punk scene is much more understanding and you know, politically correct, if you will.
Oh yeah, and there are a type of people that go to punk shows in LA when I noticed when I was in a punk band. I didn't fit in with any of the dyed hair people with the bleached hair, with the fucking rolled up dickies, with the colored bangs, you know. I didn't.
Right.
That wasn't me, you know. That was just me playing music for a bunch of kids. That's why I fucking didn't really give a fuck about it.
Absolutely, and you know what? That's the most punk rock thing I've heard all day.
Did you just wake up?
No, I went to Safeway. but yeah, no, so I mean he had like a really cool you know, he worked with Dinosaur Jr. of all bands.
I would like to hear what Gigi Allen did with Jay Maskus.
That's what he worked with, and it was like it's like described as an in-studio in-concert recording with an all-star band assembled by producer Maximum Rock and Roll and early Allen patron Michael Board. It featured Jay Maskus and Bongwater record producer Mark Kramer,
mm-hmm.
who I'm not familiar with Bongwater too much. Anyway, in his mid era performances, that's when he really got bad. That's when the bananas started getting shoved up asses, and the sexual abuse and the shit like this. This is a quote, okay, from a fellow performer by the name of Bloody Mess. Mm-hmm. I was with him when he bought the X-Lax. Unfortunately, he ate it hours before the show, so he constantly had to hold it in, or he would have shit before he went on stage. After he shit on stage, complete chaos broke out in the hall. All of the old men in charge of the hall went fucking nuts. Hundreds of confused punk kids were flipping out, running out the door because the smell was incredible. And after that, defecation became a regular part of that man's stage act. So, Gigi Allen would just shit on stage and throw it at you. He is basically a chimpanzee.
He has a human side, as we just seen in Carmelita, but his stage act was just pure ferocity. He was feral, and I know I call you feral sometimes. That's an understatement for Gigi Allen.
Yes, I am not G.G. Allen.
Definitely not.
I don't have the wherewithal to shit on a keyboard and throw the keyboard into a stage.
Yeah.
No, it's but I mean, he did some covers. Like, how about this? Let's play a cover, D. Can you get something up for us?
Oh yeah. What's the name of the song?
It's called Scumfuck Tradition by G.G. Allen, and it is a Hank Williams Jr. song done G.G. Allen style. It's amazing. It's actually pretty fun, and we're just trying to make this man seem more human.
Human, yeah.
Yes, more human, and, I mean, while maintaining that, like, even humans can be real pieces of shit.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So why don't we play that?
Do I eat my shit that's on my fingers for you? I like a little shit on myself. Makes me feel so good and smell so lovely. I love diarrhea. So much of it for you here. Hey, I got something on my fingers. Be the best fucking kiss you ever got, baby. Getting blood and everything. Oh, we love it. Come on, throw up some glass. This is gonna be our last song. Because we don't like to play it with a fucking bunch of assholes.
I can't hear shit, but I can't hear shit in that recording.
Why do you drink? Baby, why do you smoke dope? Why must you live out the songs that you wrote? Over and over, people ask about my condition. I said, baby, don't worry, I'm just carrying on an old scum fucks tradition.
Oh my God.
It sounds like everyone's having a good time in there, man, especially in the beginning. Don't you agree?
Oh, yeah. Everyone's just talking shit. GGI is talking shit back. It's a good vibe.
It is a good vibe. You know, I don't know. You know, like, that whole story.
Go on.
That whole story with where he, like, shit on stage and smelled terrible and everyone, like, flipped out. I would like to think that I would have stayed inside and, like, hung out in the back and, like, watched what happened. I don't know about you, D.
What?
Do you think you would have – would you have stayed in when he shit on stage? Would you have stayed in or would you have left?
I can't really tell. It depends on how bad the shit smelled. If it were going to make me puke, then I wouldn't stay. I would have
puked on the shit.
I would came on the shit. I would came on the shit Joseph Callender style.
Very Joseph Callender style, yes.
This is why I put my shirt in my cum.
This is why I put my shirt on my cum. This is why I make my peace. For those of you who don't know who Joseph Callender is, he is the shoemaker. He's a serial killer. Go ahead and go listen to the last podcast on the left episode of Joseph Callender.
Plug.
It's a whole series. Yeah, plug that shit. That was amazing. Fucking love those guys.
Cut.
One of these days, they're going to get mad at us.
Don't worry. They'll never hear of us.
I don't think they will. I don't think they will either. Oh, man. But, yeah, so that was part of Gigi's, like, middle career and stuff like that. And then, like, there were better recordings. That was a live one. So, like, a lot of his recordings are, especially in Hated in the Nation, are live recordings. It was remastered in 1998 after his death. He died in 93, like we talked about. And, you know, I mean, to me, it seems like a good way for his brother to make money off of, you know.
Yeah.
His brother's lore, you know what I mean? Everyone needs to make money. It's not dirty or anything like that. Like I said, his brother's a really good guy. Really nice, sweet, kind-hearted man. Looks like a fucking freak of nature, but that's a different story, man. Don't judge a book by its cover. Let's do one more song from his middle thing, from his middle kind of mid-career in like 85, 86. This is like a professional recording, and it's called Drink, Fight, and Fuck.
Drink, Fight, and Fuck.
We like to drink and party hard. We're not afraid to fight, we're not afraid to die. We like to fuck, any girl will do. We're not ashamed of the things we do. Drink, fight. Stay out of my way, I'm gonna flatten you. Give me a girl, I don't care who. The straight fight, fuck, is what I'm gonna do. Straight fight, and fuck. Straight fight, fuck.
Was a fucking master of fucking, like, I guess publicity, like commanding an audience.
You know, I don't think he was a master at that. I think he was just a how far can this shit go kind of guy.
Well, yeah, okay, maybe. So then we can liken him to Charles Manson a little bit, because Charles Manson, again, you know, he had his little cult and things like that, but you know, I think a lot of like, you know, the Helter Skelter shit, it just got out of hand for him, and he needed to keep up on his act. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But also, So this is one thing that we have to say about Gigi Allen, and I'm quoting this from an article that I'm reading right now. Another attraction to Allen's performances was his continual threats of suicide. In 1989, Allen wrote to Maximum Rock and Roll, who he worked with prior, stating that he would die by suicide on stage on Halloween in 1989. However, he was in jail when that day came. He continued his threat each following year, but ended up in prison each following Halloween. So let's give you guys like an idea of Gigi Allen's rap sheet. Okay, he was arrested 52 times in 1 year. That means once a week he was arrested in different states, different places. He had 52 different warrants. It finally caught up to him. Okay, it did finally catch up to him. And when he was in prison for all of these fucking warrants, and remember this, in 1985, it was a different time. 1987, the 80s, the 90s, it was a different time. They didn't have computers. Police departments didn't talk to each other. None of that shit. So every time he was arrested in a different city, a different county, a different state, they didn't understand that this man was wanted for like terrible acts, like sexual assaults.
There's most likely at least one bestiality charge in there.
Most definitely. He self-admittedly has fucked animals on stage. Now, I don't know how true that is, but try to take his word for it because he's a man of his word, as we said earlier.
Okay, so what would be worse in your opinion? Would it be the rape of an innocent animal or necrophilia of an innocent animal? Because I kind of hope
rape of an innocent animal that's alive, very clearly.
Yeah, the way I see it, I don't think Gigi Allen could have well controlled an animal while fucking inserting it. I really hope that he was just putting his dick inside a dead animal because dead carcasses don't give a shit. These animals, man.
It's a victimless crime. Victimless.
Yeah.
Necrophilia, you know, I mean, in a way. In a way.
You see, that just goes into what the carcass really is. And for that, you're going to have to listen to some last podcast serial killer stories.
You're going to have to do it.
Jeffrey Dahmer.
Oh, man. Ed Gein. Ed Gein was a good one. Yeah. Innocent man, just a very simpleton. This is a simple man from Wisconsin.
Oh.
But so what ended up happening was all those warrants ended up catching up to him. And he ended up in prison for, I believe it was a year. And I think this was in 1991, which is strange because my dad was also in prison in 1991 and he got 9 months in prison for selling a quarter ounce of weed. I'm going to use this time to talk about how fucked the fucking drug war is.
Oh,
God damn it. Stop and frisk laws need to fucking end already, all right?
Oh, yeah.
God damn it. Okay, I'm done. Thanks for listening to my TED Talk. no, but he was in prison, and he ended up writing an album, and it's called Brutality and Bloodshed for All. I think we have a song on the wayside ready to go by Gigi Allen from that album, and it's called I Kill Everything I Fuck.
I'm gonna see you.
That must have been one of his favorite to fucking write.
Oh man, it's kind of fun.
It is.
It's kind of fun. It's fun. All right, let's put aside our societal norms for G.G. Allin real quick. If you're writing a song about being infected with AIDS in 1991 and you're in prison and you were just fucking, imagine him in prison. Imagine how much he got pegged.
All I had to do was tell him he had AIDS. That's probably how he got the idea.
Fuck, man. No, bet.
I can't bet. No, I got nothing.
Bet.
I got nothing. I got nothing to bet. No.
Gentleman's bet. So, yeah, no, G.G. Allin. So, this is like the end of his career. This is like, this was released in 1993. It's Brutality and Bloodshed for All. I have the album. It was the first G.G. Allin G.G. Allin album I ever bought, and it comes with his personalized notes, like basically photocopies of his notebooks and like songs that he wrote and his handwriting and shit. Weirdly, fairly fancy handwriting.
Really?
Yeah. In a way, it's cursive.
Huh.
Yeah, I bet you didn't expect that, did you?
Oh no, that's so regal.
Yes, G.G. Allin is a real man. Anyway, so he ended up dying, and you know, he did. A lot of people say that he didn't make true on his promise, but I say that he did.
If he really planned to kill himself, he probably would have done it on stage. I think he would have fucking done a lot better job than dying in an alley after a show.
Yeah, well, you know, what are you going to do? You're going to blow your brains out in the middle of a fucking... How are you going to carry a gun into a venue, you know, where you're playing to a sold-out crowd? You know what I mean? And I don't think G.G. Allin was trusted probably with a gun at any time in his life.
Okay, and I don't even know G.G. Allin would trust himself with a gun.
You think he had the wherewithal?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure. All right. All right. I'll buy it. My biggest thing is like, there was a time when, so he promised, like we just talked about, every day or every year on Halloween from 1989 till 1993 to kill himself. He did play a show in 1992, where he promised to kill himself. And he did end up shooting a bunch of speedballs. Like, you know, he ended up shooting speedballs, you know, heroin yeah. mixed with methamphetamine.
Yeah.
He did run out of the front door, not to be seen. I think it was like halfway through the set, and he did it. And he did end up dying from it. So he did kind of make true on his promise. The funny story is that like a bunch of people found him in an alley in New York, and what happened was. As they all wanted to take pictures with him. They thought he was asleep, and that's where we get the picture that we were just looking at, you and I, Deep. The audience can't see it, but from that album with him with the Jack Daniels bottle. And,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, laying in an alley. That's him. He's dead.
Definitely.
He is dead in that picture. And they buried him in his beloved jockstrap with his beloved bottle of Jack Daniels. And his beloved war helmet.
Yes.
Sort of a touching end to the whole saga that is G.G. Allin.
With all the hate that G.G. Allin spread, you gotta accept that his cult following was all love for him, even though he was definitely a piece of shit. Probably because he was a piece of shit back then. That seemed like a fucking you're a kid, you know. you're tired of hearing all the same shit all the time. Punk got boring. Oh shit, this guy's shitty on stage. Fuck yeah.
Also, let's think about this. You know, I don't mean to get political with it. Reagan was president, and we're
ultra conformity of the Reagan era.
Cowboy Ronnie.
The callback to 1950s conservative culture was everything that punk was against.
Absolutely. And I mean, we're kind of living through a similar time right now, except the problem is that the man in charge right now doesn't fucking understand how to run a government. He was not governor of California. He has no fucking clue what he's doing. But again, we'll fucking lay off on this. But no, it's beautiful. And so to end this, I want to do kind of a fun segment, D.
Yes.
Do you mind?
No, not at all.
So there's a conspiracy theory that I want to bring up.
Okay.
And it is the fact that Courtney Love paid El Duce of the Mentors to kill Kurt Cobain. Okay. And so if nobody knows who the fuck the Mentors are, why don't we play something? It's in the same vein.
It's shock rock, definitely.
It's rape rock is the actual moniker of it, but it's in the same vein as G.G. Allin, which I felt like it is it's relevant in this thing. And it's the only time I could bring it up. And I did bring it up in the El Dorado collective episode, but we're going to get more in depth.
Yeah.
some R. Kelly rape rock right here.
I will say this fun story. Child Abduction actually played with the Mentors.
Oh, my God.
And I drank all of their beer, and they kicked me out of the Whiskey to Go-Go for it.
How old were you?
18. Shit. Which is better than 17, but yes, I was a kid.
Fuck.
Yeah, no, actually, the reason they kicked me, I got so drunk, I started singing. They had microphones on the floor. I started singing this song, Golden Shower, to their shit. And they were like, get this fucking kid out of here. Like, they didn't know that I fucking played with them earlier because they weren't there, because they don't give a fuck about music.
Oh, my God. So you have your experience with the Mentors.
I do. Also, my uncle was in the band in the 80s.
Ooh.
Which is kind of weird for a brief moment. And I don't really like to admit, but I did it. So, D, I want you to bring something up for me.
Okay.
Okay, I need you to go to YouTube, and I need you to look up a video of El Duce admitting to Kurt Cobain's murder.
I think this one's it. Hold on.
That's it.
The Divine Brown's pimp, a close personal friend of El Duce's, who said he could put us in touch.
Let me give it. Okay. Back, Vixen. Back. Is that? Looks like him right there, Ashley. That is. That's the one. There he is, El Duce.
Where?
There he is right there. So he's, hey, I got some Courtney Love there. There he is.
There he is! Look at him!
Where's the booze?
Sure the dog won't get out and attack us here?
This is dog, an angry dog.
Perverted. He's just a perverted.
Yeah, a warped. Intoxicated most of the time.
So, but you did some deal with Courtney, right?
Yeah. Well, she offered me $50,000 to whack Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, I was telling you.
She what?
$50,000 to whack Kurt Cobain.
And that's a fact, is it?
But people might think you're not the most reliable witness.
Well, that's too bad. You may not be the reliable witness your own self. Now think about that one.
Yeah.
You know,
So.
It's not done. Play it.
She offered me money. God dang, I wish I would have taken it. But I know who whacked him.
How were you going to whack him and tell you how to do it?
Yeah, blow his fucking head off.
So where were you going to find him to do it?
Well, up there and mapped it out. I mean, you know, up there in Bellevue, wherever they live, right outside Seattle. I know right where the house is. I know right what garden to pop him in. I just didn't think she was serious.
But did she tell you how she wanted you to pop him?
Yeah, she says, blow his fucking head off. I got the shotgun.
But she didn't say anything about
make
making
it look like a suicide.
Well, yeah, but if you just blew his brains out like you said, it wouldn't look like suicide. It looked like you blew his brains out, right?
But I told Alan, my friend, who... I'll let the FBI catch him. But that's just the way it's done. End of story. I got... Hey, $50,000 does a lot of talking. You buy me a beer, I might do some more talking.
Ah! Oh, man, am I El Duce?
No. I think El Duce was bullshitting here. I could see it in his eyes. He's just like, oh, I'm doing this because of this, I'm doing this for my reputation kind of thing.
Well, he died soon after, and here's why, man. Check this out. This is my theory. Uh-huh. This is why I had you bring this all up. Was because LTJ said that he didn't take the money, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So, who had the most to gain? All the money. Who had the most to gain from Kurt Cobain's death? Who's the most successful member of Nirvana at this point?
Oh, Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl. That's absolutely right. The Foo Fighters and all this shit. I think that he bullshitted the name Allen, okay, and said, met Dave Grohl, right? Dave Grohl killed him. And when he did this interview, he died soon after. And therefore, Dave Grohl came to El Duce and said, I can't have you doing shit like this, but let's go out and have a drink and talk about it. Left him on the railroad tracks that he fucking died on. Got him super hammered. Left him passed out on it. And then basically tied up all the loose ends of Dave Grohl's murder of Kurt Cobain. And Dave Grohl's a murderer. FBI, go out there and get him.
I personally think it was O.J. Simpson.
Well, now you're just taking away the validity of my argument, you piece of shit.
That's because this is all fucking speculation.
Is it? Is it, D? Is it speculation?
At this point, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
No, this is fact. This is fact. This has been the Pump Out Story Cast. Thank you so much, everyone who listened.
Yes, thank you.
And this has been a mashup episode of The Gross Bodily and the Pup House. Next Monday we will have an episode out with Power Violets. She just released an album. I believe she does all the instruments herself and everything like that. She's on the East Coast. She's out of, I want to say, Connecticut. But it'll be fun. I look forward to talking to her. You know what? D is becoming a regular guy here. He's gonna start fucking helping us out and like helping doing the producing area of this.
Yeah.
So thank you, D.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me, Chachi.
Of course. And one more plug. Go out, listen to the new single, the Straight Pup single.
You don't have to go out. I mean, you could just do it from your phone. Socially distance from other coronavirus victims.
What's up, coronavirus victims? Go out and check out our fucking single. It's called Nova. It's on all streaming platforms. Spotify, Apple Music, Google Play, any of the other ones that I can't think of right now. DistroKid, doesn't matter. BuzzFeed. It's on TikTok too, so if you want to make a video to it, that's fun. Anyway, it's about Ted Bundy. That's Canary Song, and Nova are the two songs on that track. So go out and check it out, give it a listen. Maybe you'll like it. I hear it goes hard.
Oh yeah, where'd you hear this from?
School.
Oh yeah, yeah. the kids listen to our single. And I was just like, you know what? Weird-ass kid, he's pretty cool.
No, man. In college, man, I did put it out there, and they were all fucking soaking on it. So musicians seem to like it. And,
oh, shit. That adult school, awesome.
Yeah, college, man. Anyway, Pub House Straight Gas. We're drinking mimosas the rest of the day. Love yourself. Brunch. Hate the police. Love your country. Hate your nation. Stick with your man. Stick with your fellow man. And defy authority at all costs.
I kill everything I fuck.
Hell yeah. Get infected with AIDS.
Coronavirus victims.
Wait, maybe, yes. Don't do any of that. But, yeah, ACAB, fuck the police. Coming straight from the underground.
All cops are beautiful.
Oh, God. I can't end it now. All capybaras are beautiful.